Oh, I just want to thank the Lord for what he's doing. And if we can open up in prayer, Father, I just thank you for your word. And I thank you so much that it is powerful and transforming, and that your word is not just letters in a book. It's filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's enough to change our hearts and our minds and the way we think and the way we act. And Lord, we welcome you, the living, eternal word, Jesus, into our midst today. And we pray for that same thing, that you would open hearts, that you would open minds, that we would see you in a whole new way in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, listen, we've been talking for weeks on the soil of our heart, parable of the sower out of Matthew 13. And I just want to do like a little overview today of where we've been for the past month or so, because he's brought us back to a very basic place, a place where God has a desire for his word, which Jesus, it says, was the word before the beginning. He was the word made flesh. Jesus, the living Son of God, was the word incarnate, which means it jumped inside humans, and he died for our sins and set us free from all the penalty of sin and death. Jesus Christ, the eternal Lamb that was sacrificed for us. Third day, he raised from the dead, and then he sent his Holy Spirit to us on earth that we might have a comforter, someone who lives inside us for the first time in history. And then the whole aim of our existence on this earth is that God would have his word go in our hearts and that it would change us from the inside out. And so our quest has to be, Father, here I am. Here's my heart. Let your word take root in this soil of my heart and let it be fruitful and produce fruit. And this is what we've looked at. We've looked at the parable of the sower. And if you remember, you know, from this whole parable, we want to be people who have soil. And we can't have soil in our heart without Jesus. Jesus is the one who brings that soil and makes the deposits, turns our heart of stone to flesh, right? When we come to Jesus and we say, Lord, we believe that you are the Son who has died on the cross for our sins. We believe you were raised from the dead. That is the beginning of our salvation, where he comes and he touches our hearts and our cold, stony hearts are made flesh. And they're able to take a seed and nourish it and produce fruit. God gives us the soil to produce fruitfulness from the seeds of his word. See, this is all his work, right? We allow that seed to be planted in our heart, and then he produces fruit from it, a work of God in our midst. So we want that soil. We want it to be deep enough. And in the parable of the sower, it talks about ground that's deep enough so the roots can take root and become established. We learn God's ways, and we learn the power of community. That's that depth of soil. We're not lone rangers. We don't want to just do it on our own. We recognize God died for a people called the body of Christ. And so we're grafted in a powerful way. And when we're established, we know that. We know his word, and we know the power of community and how that works out. And we have strong relationships, and we forgive, and we work together. All of us being different, working together, diversity, producing fruitfulness. You know, we want to be those who aren't entangled by the cares of the world. Remember the thorn analogy? The thorns choked that which grew up and sprung up. And that's the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of wealth. And then we're told that those who hear the word of God and understand will produce 30, 60, 100 times fruitfulness. I just want you to think about that for one second. Think about the word of God being placed in your heart And that word being received with such a welcome, almost like a child, right? A mother and a child. It's, we receive the word in us and we nurture and we cherish. And that word takes root and it grows, but it doesn't just one seed produce one human life. This seed of the word, one seed of the word of God produces 30, 60, 100 times fruitfulness. The word of God is powerful. The word of God, and I think we are robbed from familiarity, right? Because we've all been given Bibles. There's other people in China that literally risked their lives for a Bible, for a page. A book would be amazing. A whole house church comes together and they put their pages together. And they're like, we finally have a book. I mean, this is serious. And in our country, we become so familiar that we don't even pick up our Bible, the 10 that we have in our homes. We let them sit and collect dust for, God forbid if it's a week, a month. It would be terrible for a day. Like, we are desperate for the living word. We need to just ask the Lord to just strip away familiarity, strip away complacency and things like this, and say, we miss the power of this because we think it's so simple. Of course, God gave us the Bible. He gave us the written word. It's infallible. It was written by God through men. Infallible, perfect, God-breathed. But then we don't touch it for periods of time. I think it's familiarity. I think we take for granted the sacredness of the Word of God, the power of it to change us, transform us, confront the spirit of the world in our hearts and our minds, to actually rejuvenate and renovate, renew our minds. That's some powerful stuff. So this whole parable of the sower, it's in Matthew 13. It's really about God, his nature, being a rewarder of those who seek him. God's like saying, if you will seek me, if you will take my word and let it become part of your heart and nurture it, I'm going to produce 30, 60, 100 times of that fruit in your life. You will be so abounding in goodness if you'll just let me have that little place in your heart, one little seed, and I will revolutionize your life. I will transform you. I want to talk a little bit about this. I want to pray. Before we move on, just take a few minutes, and I want to pray for your own heart. If you would just pray, close your eyes and pray and ask the Lord. But I want to pray that we would see, hear, and understand. And, he promises in this same passage, when Jesus explains the parable of the sower, that people just hear but don't hear. They see but don't see. They don't understand. And then he says, my people have become dull in their hearts. And then he promises, if they will come to me, they will see, and they will hear, and they will understand, and I will heal them. This is what this is the Father's heart, his plea to us, asking and saying, if my people would turn from their ways of becoming dull to the word of God. This is a powerful passage. It's incredible because if we will turn, he promises we will see, hear, understand, and be healed. That's pretty awesome. I want that. And so I want to pray just a minute here where we just pray and ask God to touch our hearts, touch our lives. Let us see, let us hear, let us understand. This is for all ages. You're a young person here. I double dare you to pray that you would see, hear, understand. Invite him to heal your heart. He sees everything. So let's just pray. Lord, we just pray right now that you would, we don't want to be those who constantly resist you. We don't want to be those who keep seeing and don't see, keep hearing and don't hear, and never fully understand. We don't want to be those who are dull in heart. We want a heart that's not rock and dullness, but sensitivity and rich nutrient soil that produces much fruit. So I pray for everyone in here, Lord God. And Lord, we also lift up our loved ones to you that don't see, they don't hear, they don't understand. They need healing. Right now, just lift up those people around you that just lift up their names, Lord God. We just pray right now. Just lift their names up, folks. Come on. I know you have loved ones that you care about that need to hear and see and know the love of God and His truth. I agree with all these prayers, Lord, and all these names. Father, we pray for you to just pour out your goodness upon their hearts and their minds and their lives, Lord God. We thank you that you're a God who is alive. You are not a dead totem pole or idol, but you are one who is the creator of the heavens and earth. You created every soul, and you are longing for them to be rejoined to you, that they would know your goodness, know your nature. Thank you so much for your kindness. Thank you, Lord. Lord, fulfill your word, fulfill your promise. Bring them to you, Lord Jesus. Bring their hearts, open their eyes, cause those scales to fall off that they can see, ears open that they can hear you, Father. I thank you, you are powerful. I thank you that the enemy, Satan, has no chance of even thwarting your purposes and your will. You are so much greater, so much greater. You are the only one who has created all things. He is just a created being. And we just lift you up today, Father. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thank you, Father. Amen. So then we moved over to this idea of rest, which is integrally tied to this idea of our heart. So, you know, this whole point of rest, there is a rest to the people of God. And with the Israelites, they were given a promised land as their place of rest. And in this passage of Hebrews 4 that we looked at, it talked about there being a place of rest that exceeded the place that Joshua talked about. It exceeded a destination, a place that they went. It was a place in the Spirit. It was a place of peace and trust in the Lord. And this builds on the sower because that rest was hinged on this listening to the word with faith. This whole idea that we would come to the Lord and hear his word and listen and trust him. That what he says is true. So even our rest, which is this place of peace and trust in the Lord, this place that is, we don't have to worry, we don't have to be bound by confusing thoughts. We're going to get into a little bit of that, what that is. It all builds on this place of, do you have a heart that will receive the word of God? So will we listen to the word with faith? And it builds on this, to hear and understand. And I want to just hit this. It is not intellectual understanding. It is experiential understanding. It is hearing the word and doing. It's hearing the word and being changed. It's hearing the word and following after the ways of Jesus Christ. And see, we think that it's about like, oh, yes, let's theologize over the word and let's just talk about it and pontificate. I mean, some of that is fun. You get lost in invigorating conversations. But if the result of it isn't a changed way of living, like there's the practicality of the word of God being heard and understood. When we hear and understand the word, our life changes. What does that look like? Well, I mean, there's all kinds of practical ways that the word changes life, which, you know, when we experience the practicality of the word of God and we understand it, we start managing our thoughts, right? Galatians 5:19 lists out all kinds of ways that our mind is renewed and changed when we hear the word, right? It's insecurities are gone because we now trust in the Lord. Our lustful thoughts are quenched because we now have this purity that we are gazing upon and taking into our hearts. Worry. You know, when we start meditating the word, when we start really managing our thoughts with the word of God, we don't worry because we trust the Lord that if we trust him in all our ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. If we trust him and we seek first the kingdom, all things will be given to you, right? All these wars that we have in our mind is brought to naught because we trust. Envy, jealousy, all these things listed in Galatians 5:19. We don't longer envy after what other people have because we trust the Lord. He's given us everything we need. And he is our supply. He is our source. Kind of exciting. How about like criticism? You just have anger in your heart. These things, when you, the practical outworking of hearing and understanding the word is anger is dissipated. Because we start seeing things from an eternal perspective. We start seeing the fact that when we were hostile toward God and in sin, he died for us so that we could live. He gave us his inheritance that he took upon him, our inheritance, which was the penalty of sin and death. So criticism, anger, it dissipates because the word of the Lord fills our heart. That's why the scripture says, if you love the word, you won't take offense. Like that has been a real pivotal scripture for me in my life. You know, as a leader, there's, you know, you think, you know, there's, we all know what it is to be disappointed or let down or whatever, right? Well, as a leader, you also feel those things. You know, and there's a lot of ways you can be offended. You know, as a parent, anyone can find some options to like get offended by things your kids do or say to you, especially when they reach that magical age of like 11, 12, 13. Listen, you run a business, you know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of ways you can be offended. Criticisms and, you know, nothing's ever good enough, you know, and you're like, oh, this is tough. These kinds of things, you know what it's like, but when you love the word, you don't take offense. Why? Because there's a reality that's greater. It's the reality of what Christ has done for us when we were so deficient. And he didn't want anything for it. It wasn't this version that says, do better and you will earn God's favor. It's this whole reality where he's like, I've done everything for you. You are free and free indeed. And I want to bless you. And so we're not serving him or trying to say, God, do a work in our heart because we're trying to earn some reward from God. He says, I will diligently reward those who just seek me. Unmerited favor from God. He loves you. He loves you. All you have to do is be willing. And then, you know, it's like a farmer planting a seed, right? You put a seed in the ground and you're done now. The water, the rain waters it, the sun causes it to flourish. And he's faithful. And he does the work and gives the increase. We just are obedient. We put the seed in the ground. We receive the word in our heart. Now, some of you are like, what are you talking about? How do you, like, plant a seed in your heart? Well, it's as simple as this. Where is that? I had it last night. Like, in case some of you, it's too figurative for you. This is what I'm talking about. In the morning, you wake up, have coffee, or maybe you're a late night guy, girl, and you wake up. I mean, you're already awake. You're getting ready to go to bed, and you go like this. You're like, gosh, this is a big book. Where do I even open it up? Well, I don't know. You know what? Sean did share out of Matthew 13 and Hebrews 4, and he's going to share Ephesians 4. Okay, I'll just open up there. Let's see here. I got some time here while I'm drinking my coffee. Let's see, Matthew 13. Okay. Huh. Some of you might have to look in the beginning part where it shows you where Matthew is. It's okay. You can start off that way, and before you know it, you know, you'll get it. But see, they have this really thing called the table of contents in the front. And you can find out where Matthew is, and it'll give you a page number. And so I just open to Matthew 13, and I'm going to read, and it's like, oh, Jesus is talking to his disciples about the parable of the sower. And you start reading that. Just a few minutes is all you need to start. And then you just say, God, would you cause my heart and my soil to be able to produce fruit? It's as simple as that. That's what I'm talking about, the word, the seed of God's word being planted in your heart. And then you're at work later on and you're super busy and then you have to go to the bathroom. No one can avoid that. And so when you're going to the bathroom, you start going, Lord, you know, I just, as I'm standing here, what depends what gender you are probably, but. And you just start remembering that whole thing of Matthew 13. You know, cause my heart to be fruitful, Lord. I just pray right now that in this 10 seconds that I have, maybe it's longer, but I pray that I have this understanding deepened in my heart. I'm trying to give you like practical things, like when we talk about the word of God becoming a seed plant in your heart, this is what I mean. It's just opening the Bible and taking in some of his living word and then letting him do the rest. This thing doesn't need your help. This word, the Holy Ghost has been sent to us to charge it and make it alive and active in your life, right? So you don't have to do all this heavy lifting of behavior modification. You just got to be willing to change. God does the increase. He does the change. He transforms. He answers prayer. Amen. I'm glad someone is awake. You know, what other ways do we experience practical change from the word? It's our words, what comes out of our mouth, right? I'm going to end with Ephesians 4 here. And it gives us some very practical things of how to cooperate with the word to see transformation, right? It's our words. What comes out of our mouth? Like, what comes out of our mouth is usually what's in our heart. So when we just respond to people and we're like, oops, sorry, we shouldn't really be sorry. We should say, oh, that could be a problem. I probably need to deal with my heart. Why am I apologizing for what I say when it's really inside me? And that's a great thing to do for the next day, coffee, or when we go to bed, is like, oh, you know, I blurted out something that showed me what was in my heart. Lord, can we deal with that a little bit? Is there a scripture? You take out your phone. Yeah, this is like, can be Bible stuff. You know, you take out your phone and you Google bad thoughts in my heart or anger in my heart scripture. You just put scripture at the end, it'll find all the scriptures that have to do with anger in your heart. And you could do all kinds of things. Like instead of you have a lustful thought, right? Instead of sitting there and saying, that's it, I'm not going to think about this. No, you got to go to like a scripture that says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And then you start thinking about this and say, Lord, can I have some more fear in my life? Because I don't hate evil enough. I like to flirt with it, play around, like entertain it, see how close to the line I can get. And really, we need to say, Father, can you pour out a little bit of fear and reverence of you and your ways? That I can hate evil. Then I hate it. I have a bad taste in my mouth. I don't even want to get near the line. I don't want to even entertain that stuff because I hate it. I fear you, Lord. You're so good. I love you. Relationships. You know, practical ways that the Word of God will transform you is in your marriage. I mean, it'll cause a spouse to shut their mouth when they get ready to say something wrong. Notice I said spouse. It was non-gender. It'll cause them to shut their mouth because they're like, that won't be good. You know, I could speak for a guy. It'll cause guys to just shut up and listen instead of coming up with a solution. Right? I don't know about you. That's my go-to is, I can solve this. Can I help you solve this problem? And really, I just, Oh, really? I'm being genuine. It's you have to learn. You have to grow, right? As a guy. I mean, if I brought Steph up, she could give the ladies some real growth points. I gave one. Now you give one, baby. They want to hear.
He gave me. He gave me what to say. About women nagging men. It keeps us from nagging.
Thank you.
You're always so good at that. Yeah, not nagging. Thank you, Amy. This could be a collective women thing. Anyone else? Anyone else want to share something that... No, I know. It's you guys are so funny. Don't do it. It's dangerous. This could go downhill quick. Oh, you guys are awesome this morning. I love this. Is this what we get when we get air conditioning inside? Wow, maybe we can do this next week. Oh, boy. Okay, I'm gonna close out here with Ephesians 4. This is so good, though. Going to my phone here. I'm trying to break this down because we think that it's so spiritual and mystical. When it's so practical, will you allow God a chance to plant his word in your heart? And if you need to use Google to figure out like where the scripture is, punch it in there and then start looking up some. It's the word, and the word is powerful. And if you're coming to him in faith because you're hungry for change and you're wanting God to do something in your heart, then he doesn't care whether it's Google or whatever. If it brings you to the Word in the Bible and you read it, he takes it and he charges it and he causes your life to be changed, transformed. I want to end in Ephesians 4 here. It says, Let's see, in verse 22, it's talking about the unity of the Spirit. Like, how in the world can all different people come together from all different backgrounds and ethnicities and experiences? It's called the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the Word of God. So verse 22. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self. That's like pre-Jesus stuff, right? Which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. That you may be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth to one another. So, first practical thing, when you are pursuing a new life, one that's filled with the Word of God, the Word of it is being planted in your heart, what are you going to do? You're going to speak truth. That's your first action point. Speak truth. I don't know truth. What's truth? Just start reading the Word a little bit more. Now, some of you have been saved a very long time. You've been walking with Jesus for decades, right? You're like, oh, I know truth. Do you speak it? And hopefully you're not offended by the simplicity of this, but I've been challenged. Decades of serving the Lord, and we become complacent. We become familiar. We treat things with disrespect. We treat the Word with disrespect by saying, oh, yeah, I know that. Well, but is it a part of the way you live your life and behave? Is it part of your daily life? Is it demonstrated at work? Everywhere you are, you're the same Holy Spirit, truth-filled person. In your conversations with your wife, in how you treat your children, in how you treat your employees, how you treat your bosses, how you treat your pastor, or your life group leader, or your brother and sister. Right? I don't know about you, but I mean, my plate's pretty full just thinking about the Word and how my life is aligned to it. Do you know how, like, exhaustive the Bible is on everything? How you're supposed to treat younger people and older people, your wife, children, employees. You know, how you're supposed to conduct yourself. Like right now, I'm just going to give you a few simple things right about Ephesians 4:22. And right now, the first thing we got is speak truth to each one of his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but don't sin. Do not let your sun go down on your anger. You know what that means? For spouses, when you are really peeved at them, before you go to bed, you're like, we got to resolve this. I'm sorry. Like, we can't go to sleep, let the sun go down, with an unresolved issue. Let's talk about this. That might be a late night, but at least you're trying to obey the Word. Do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, right, Jacinta? That's like, this is my new... we're going after a return of what's been stolen. Right? We're not just going to let the devil off the hook. We're going to demand repayment, retribution. Right? Yeah. We're like, no way. The Lord said, you take, you pay back sevenfold. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what's good, so that he will have something to share with one who is in need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. There's another action point. What's coming out? Is it truth? But only such a word that's good for building up according to the need of the moment. A timely word, a word in season. So that we'll give grace to those who hear. Is that what comes out of our mouths all the time? I'm just telling you, I'm challenged by the simplicity. But because it's so simple, we just discard it. And we don't work on it anymore. And then we become a people who has forgot the basics. Because we're talking, we're already eschatology, man. We're going to talk about that all day long. But we're going to speak all kinds of trash out of our mouth. And believe me, I'm not pinning like deep conversations with that. I'm saying there's a necessity for us to focus on the word's active ability to transform us and stay transformed and let the word be alive in our hearts, that it changes the way we talk and think and act, not just lofty stuff. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed on the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath. You have any unforgiveness or bitterness? There you got it. Pray, release it, give it to God. Look to the cross and what he has done for you. And anger and clamor, slander, be put away along with malice. Any kind of revenge, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Just as God in Christ also forgave you. You know, life groups is, I want to challenge you, if you gave up going to life groups or you haven't been to them for a while, folks, this is the whole design of our church and how we meet on Sundays. We hear the word, we get direction and vision. Like, I've tried to do a very detailed job of talking about the practicalities of that today, right? But where it really happens is when you meet during the week in your life group. That whole focus is, how does the word apply to your personal life? That's where you go around and everyone shares and they say, well, I have a hard time for this word to take place in my family life. I got it pretty good in my heart. I've mastered my passions, my temper that I used to have. But man, I just can't seem to engage as a powerful father in my house. I can't really deal with the kids. I'm a mom and there's lots of kids and I have a hard time letting the word be expressed in that setting. You have no idea, man. I'm pretty good in my devotion time and things like that. But when I'm on the job, oh, I get so mad. I just yell at people. Like, what's your problem? Can't you do anything right? Oh, Ephesians 4. Lord, help me to speak seasoned words of grace that strengthen. Hey, listen, you didn't get it right that. Okay, we're going to get it right this next time. What do you need to help? Understanding. How do you do this? Put this together. This is what you talk about in life group. Life group is supposed to be a time where you pour out your heart and where the leader is like, listen, I see this in your life. And the leader speaks as a father into situations. This is what life group is for. It's for the application side. 70% applying the word in a customized way where everyone's sharing. People are gleaning from one another. They're saying, oh man, that's how you do that? That's how you have a devotion as a mother of five kids? Wow, that's encouraging to me. I didn't think it was possible. You know, when you start sharing things like that, that would be impossible to do on a Sunday. Sunday's for releasing the word. What is the Spirit saying to the flock, the network? Where are we headed? What's the Lord doing in this season? Life groups is for like going deep, transformative living, bonding relationships in truth together, breaking bread and having lots of good food, remembering the communion of the Lord. How does the word relate to my life, my family, my household, my church? So I just want to challenge us today. This is a Zara paper. Isn't that beautiful? I love her papers. They're great to write messages on. So I want you to join with me in this pursuit to hear and understand God's word. Let it bring freedom. Let it bring fruitfulness. Let it bring rest. Let it bring alignment and direction. Let it bring peace and healing to your life. Let's start. Our action point is this week. I challenge you. We're all going to just plunge into the Word of God every day. Every single day. For coffee, for lunch, and then meditate. When you go to the bathroom, you're going to like picture me. When you go to the bathroom, you're going to say, oh, Sean said remember the Word. This is going to happen. That's the extent of it, folks. Just to remind you about the Word. That is it. You're going to daily seek God by reading the Word. Start with a scripture. You say, oh, I don't know. Well, we've covered Matthew 13 today. We've covered Hebrews 4. We've covered Ephesians 4. That's enough to get you started. Just stick to the fours. You'll be good. Lord, I just pray right now that your Word would come alive. Lord, we accommodate you and your greatness, Lord. Father, I pray you lift us up out of dead religion, any kind of complacency we've settled in, any kind of distractions that we've embraced. We pray, Lord God, for you to just pour over us with refreshing. Forgive us for our complacency and our familiarity toward you. Lord, we want this to be fresh. We never want to become stale. Lord, pour out refreshing. Let the Word come alive in our hearts and our minds. Let the life of God be released, the light of heaven in our families, Father God. Jesus, we thank you for what you're doing in this church and in this place and in our families and our households and the marriages, Lord God, and in our individual hearts. Thank you, Father. Let it continue. Let it increase. Just pray for your blessing to be upon everybody here, Lord, every household, every heart, that hunger would rise up, hunger and thirst for righteousness. The goodness of God would be poured out. Thank you, Father. In your name. Just want to challenge you just to pray right now. Just take a minute to respond to the Lord for your own life and your own heart, your family. And let's just pray. Let's just start this journey of fresh, renewed faith and interaction with the Word.